Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, I barely remember this tune, Judith. I barely remember it. It's been so very long.
Feels like a long time.
I can't even remember what you look like.
Oh, I know. It feels like ages since I've seen you, actually.
It is ages since we've actually seen each other in the flesh. But
the way you said that.
Flesh. But I have written in my notes, Judith, you have been away so long. Do you speak Greek now?
Well, of course I don't. I can say calamari, because that's what I like to order, and afghanisto, very badly. Which is thank you.
That's nice that you say that.
Yes, yes. I feel that you should learn the word thank you when you're in a country, don't you?
It's been a long time since I've been to Greece, but if I go again, I will remember those two words, because I also like calamari. I will look them up and I will smile delightfully at anybody that gives me anything.
Frightening.
Terrifying. Now, my sister did Greek at school because in the school brochure it said, or somehow she got hold of the notion that the school offered Greek on the curriculum. And very typically of Sarah, the school said they did it, so she insisted that she was taught.
Did she really? That's
yes,
difficult.
There was only her and
alphabets.
Another girl. That was only her and another girl. And I think it was ancient Greek, Judith.
Sienna did that.
Did she?
She did. She did Latin and ancient Greek. And she should have done classics, really. So she knows the alphabet. I mean, that's hard. That's properly hard, isn't it?
Learning if my sister wasn't swimming around Turkey or wherever she is this week, I would ring her right now and I would say, Sarah, Sienna knows the ancient Greek alphabet. I want you to recite it now. On the spot. I put her on the spot.
Like a younger sister always would. Go on then. Go on then.
Show
it off and about.
You said you could do that. You said you could do it. Then do it. Can you do it now? Go on. Do it now. So Sienna must have been able to... when you went to see ruins and things like that, did you? Could she read things?
Well, lots of ruins, really. But, you know, except I did go and see some ruins, which I found absolutely fascinating. Oh. And I thought, you know what? I better redress the balance in case I'm written off as a total Philistine. So I have got I've got news on the ancient ruins front. But, you know, we'll come to that.
Now, hold on. I bet it wasn't just a pile of rubble, was it?
Because of course it wasn't. Oh, yeah. No.
There was like houses and flooring.
Houses and flooring and shutters and in sort of in living memory, yes. Absolutely. Shall I tell you about it now or shall we get
I want a whole picture of the holiday. That's okay, what we want. I mean, okay. I'll have to shut up. I'm very, very envious. I feel quite angry about this holiday. Because I think that 2 weeks is pushing it, Judith. I think it's pushing it.
It does seem like quite a long time, actually.
Did you get bored? Did you get a bit bored
just
of it?
It was edging. But now I'm back. I think, oh, no, why did I feel that? I want to go back now. Because it was cold and autumnal. Cold and autumnal it is. And I've got a to-do list from hell.
Oh,
things,
even
none of
I,
which I want to do. None
even
of
I have got a bit of a to-do list today, Judith. I'm having a home day. I'm not getting dressed today. I can tell you that for nothing. I haven't got time. I haven't got time to get dressed. this was a multi-location holiday, was it not?
It was, actually. We did 3 days on our own to begin with. Then we had a week with the family, including the boys. And then we had three days on our own. So we had a lot of inertia either side.
Which you needed. You were sort of storing up your fats and energies for when the twins arrived.
It was hard work.
And then you were in recovery once they left.
I was. So much inertia by the end. Do you know, I had a step count, I mean, this has never happened to me before, of less than 2,000 2 days in a row. That's going some, isn't it?
Welcome to my life. Welcome to my life. To be quite honest, Judith, and I think I might have said this on stage once or twice, the only time my step count goes above 2,000 steps is when I've got cystitis and I need to go to the bathroom 28 times in a day. To be quite honest.
Well, it surprised me how readily, do you just mean, because I'm always sort of, oh, I got my step count, I got swimming, it's like that, blah, blah. It felt absolutely fine. Quite liked it.
Now and again, I think you have to take a day for yourself. I genuinely do.
Well, this is very true. I'd had enough of the twins by the end. Better not put that out. No, it's fine. We were tagging in and tagging out. There were six adults. Okay, we took Ellen and her best friend, and James, Sienna, and us. So there were the two.
Well,
twins.
The parents really had to come, didn't they? I mean, you know, well, it's kind of their job as parents.
They did come, but we shared it all out. So it's right. Are you tagging in or are you tagging out? No, I'm tagged out. I'm not on duty. Are you sure? So there was a lot of that. But we had.
Were you always with Mike, or did you sometimes swap it around a bit so you would tag in with maybe Ellen?
Yeah. No. But I did the. I did a lot of the earlies. Some of them were really early. I tell you, there was a lot of Ms. Rachel. Fucking Miss Rachel. Oh,
you see, we haven't done that. We still haven't done Miss Rachel. We're still on Hey Dougie. No, we are very Hey Dougie. I think the world divides. And we haven't even attempted Miss Rachel yet.
I wouldn't start, actually. I really wouldn't start.
You see, I love Hey Dougie.
So silly. So silly. Good job.
Oh no, I don't like the sound of Miss Rachel. No, no. Particularly, I have to say. Okay, right. Was the weather consistently good?
It was, actually. It was consistently good with a nice breeze, but quite warm at night. And I'd kind of had enough of the hot weather by the end. So, yes, the answer to that is yes, very clear and sunny. A good week to go, I feel, before, you know, you get those changeable weeks in October, I hear. So I would recommend Crete as a destination very, very much.
I got the impression from our Instagram that you had rather fallen for Crete. My second question, Judith.
Oh, God.
Did the long line knickers get plenty of
wear? Oh, the long line. Do you know, I rarely talked of anything else. Every time I put them on, I'm speechless. I'm speechless, Jenny. They were marvellous.
Did you show people them on the plane?
Well, no, I didn't. I felt like it. I could have done.
Yeah,
and do you know what I mean? Yeah, I was that enthused. I will recommend, okay, because I go on so many holidays, and I'm sorry about that, gang, but, you know, we don't have paid jobs anymore, so we're making the most of it. And I feel it's my duty. I feel it's a contribution I can make is to give one or two tips away, okay? So here are my holiday tips from Crete, okay? Because I do feel it's, you know, it's a contribution I can make. Rithymno.
Good.
Absolutely
Rithymno,
fantastic
Rithymno.
To have. Cobble
sounds like a drug,
aplenty.
Judith. Rithymno. Rithymno. Okay, I'm writing that down. Rithymno.
Yes,
Rithymno. Okay.
Beautiful. Nice little beach. Ancient ruins. Don't even bother. Cobbled streets aplenty with gorgeous restaurants, little shops, linen outlets, baskets.
Did you hotel there? Was that your first
yes.
destination? And you stayed in
yes,
a hotel?
Yes, it was. Stayed in a hotel just outside on the beach, which was sort of basic. I mean, basic enough. I'm talking your own fruit into breakfast. So, we didn't splash out. But anyway,
okay.
Rithymno, very, very lovely. And did you see on Instagram, I stumbled across this little phyllo pastry shop. Where the grandma and the grandson were making it by hand with this funny sort of long board and kind of folding it, you know,
like
a dance.
Weirdly, Judith, you actually technically managed to put a video onto our Instagram.
It was a first, wasn't it?
It was a first. And I'm going to ask you, did you have help with that?
No, I worked it out.
Well
I did.
Done.
I did.
Well
I did. No, I think I've done it before, but,
okay.
but perhaps. Yeah.
I
anyway.
Apologise for that patronising note. Then I'm very, very sorry. It was a joyful scene,
wasn't it?
And I think a lot of people liked it as well. And then you sort of spoiled it at the end by being all humble and going, "Wow!" In a really kind of. I've been quite affected by this scene, voice. I know you inside out. And you thought, I've got to get the tone of this voice right. So This
you
is my.
You know me well. You do know me well. But no, I was very pleased with myself for finding that just by accident. So pleased that I went out and told lots of people, oh, you should go and see them making that. And also, I bought a lot of their baklava, which were absolutely sensational.
You see, I don't like baklava. I don't like. It's like shredded wheat with honey, really, isn't it?
But it's got pistachios and. But you're funny about sugar. I know. Jeff would like it. Okay.
Yeah, Jeff would like it, but it's just been told by the doctor he's got to cut down on the sugar. So there's no baklava for him, mate. I tell you that for absolutely nothing. He's a baklava free zone from now
on. Are you not
even
going to buy him any more of those horrible freezer?
He's allowed a lolly a day. He's allowed a lolly a day. He's got to cut back on the ice cream. Oh, you should have seen his face. You know, and I think he might have lied to the doctor about his intentions, but we'll just see how it goes. Anyway, there we go.
You're away a lot, aren't you, over the next few
weeks?
He's
very lonely. He gets very lonely. Well, I told you, I think it was the last episode before you went away about how I'd set off, had to come back to the house and saw that he was coming back from the local shop with his ice cream rations and there were two tubs in his bag. Anyway, there we go.
Within minutes, you said.
Did you eat? Now, I've got a third question.
Yes, go on. Oh, go on.
Did you eat a lot of ice cream in Crete?
A lot of ice cream, very nice. I would say up to Italian standards, which, you know, are, let's face it, very high. A lot of food sensations.
Okay, let's put food sensations here then, because I mean,
shall
I think
we?
It's,
shall
it's
we?
Pertinent. It's pertinent
it
to
is, rather.
The episode.
It
yes.
is. It
I'll
is.
Try and join in, but I have scraps. I have mere scraps, Judith.
Although
before that,
what?
stop,
what?
Because I will forget, and I need to say thank you. We need to say thank you to the Jolly Hog Company.
Oh, I know, the bacon arrived, didn't it?
Well, mine just arrived this morning.
Yes.
And
yes.
Because we mentioned Jolly Hog Bacon, which is a particularly fine brand of bacon, we shall reiterate that message again. They very kindly sent us a packet of sausages and a packet of bacon.
I know.
Just the ticket.
I know. Well, we need to get our act together, don't we?
Well,
I might get some baklava now. You never know.
I don't know. I think that's a bit vague. I think it's what happens is when we have to be specific and we have to think about this and we have to be more cunning. We've not been cunning enough with this podcast. So far, we've had with the loan of two electric bikes, a packet of bacon and a packet of sausages. Have we had anything else, Judith? From
beans. We had beans.
Oh, beans, which beans. I couldn't eat, of course, because of the tomato content.
Yes.
It's coming along. It's coming along. But if anybody else wants to send us anything, we're learning, but we're not really there yet, are we? We're not doing the exact influencer and, God, we've been inundated with all sorts of things. Clothing. Nobody thinks to send us any clothing, do they? It's
well,
memes.
We do some long-line knickers now. Winter long-line knickers, don't we?
Is there a winter version? I tell you what we'd like.
What?
We'd like some fleece-lined long-line knickers. If there is a speciality outlet selling those, well, you know who to send them because we will rave about those. Okay, back to your holiday. You're having ice cream. Yes. What are your other taste sensations?
We had some very, very subtle, subtle tarama salata. Two or three of those, but one in particular in the most gorgeous, trendy restaurant in Ayas Nikolaos called Pelagos, which again I found by accident, but I just thought, that looked quite trendy. And I was right, it was wonderful. And we had a couple of occasions where we went, and I've never done this before because I've been scared of the price. You know when you have the fish thing and they don't give you the price, it's by the kilo. And you think, I'm not doing that.
Even understand kilos, do we?
Well, quite terrifying. So, but we did it in this restaurant, and it actually wasn't that expensive. And we got some sea bass that you chose, you know, and that was very, very lovely. But some very, very classy, and some lovely squid with spinach. And, almost forgot, a beetroot and orange salad.
Very nice. Were there any nuts?
Nice.
Were there any nuts scattered upon the salad?
No. Beetroot, but the orange zest as well as the juice.
Yes.
Highly recommend that combination. And also baked phyllo. Phyllo in the oven with the odd tomato and I think oregano. They put a lot of oregano in stuff, don't they? That was very lovely too.
Well, I made, my one taste sensation, which wasn't really a taste sensation, but I have to say something at this point because otherwise it'll be very light on me this episode. No, I'm not having that.
No.
I made from that roasting tin book that I was encouraged to buy. I've now done the two recipes I'm going to make, and I'll probably give it Phoebe now because that's it for me. I won't make either of them again, I don't think. The one I made last week, Judith, it was a puff pastry. I got the Just Roll puff pastry from the supermarket. Nice. Piece of piss. And then it was beetroot, raw baked beetroot, thinly sliced, lapping over each other, like sort of like an apple pie,
apple tart thing.
Well, sort of like that. Yes, right, I wouldn't know, but yes, you're getting the picture. And there was it was olive oil, and it was all sorts of things. And then it was feta cheese. It was meant to be blue cheese, but I don't like blue cheese. Feta cheese and some walnuts crumbled over it.
Oh, delicious, Jeff.
Well, it was quite nice, Judith. It was quite nice. Jeff sort of looked around his plate as if he was saying, where's the meat? Where's my meat bit?
Where are the lamb chops?
Yeah. What else goes with this? And then I knew that in the morning, because there was half left, you know, and I knew he didn't really want it. And I was going away and I thought he's just going to put it in the bin.
So I took it in a Tupperware.
Was too flimsy for silver foil, Judith. I popped it in a Tupperware. And I was then on a train because I was going a very long way. I can't remember where I was going. But Ray was meeting me at a train station somewhere. And I got it out on the train. It was smashed to smithereens, basically. And I just ate shards of my beetroot tart. So I looked quite delicious. It was nice, Judith. It was the kind of thing that I would make for a light lunch with several ornate salads.
Now, wait a minute. I just want to clarify one thing here.
Go on, clarify.
Yes. Did you buy the beetroot raw and then just cut it raw and put it on?
Yes, it was raw beetroot, very thinly sliced, Judith. Right. It wasn't poached beforehand. Mm. There was no mucking about.
Exactly, because that can be very mucky, can't it?
I'm not doing very that. Very messy. No. It also looks like you've committed mass murder if you've been mucking about for beetroot too long. And I, of course, had to sort of, you know, remind both myself and Jeff that there would be, you know, alarming coloured movements that would follow, and that we mustn't leap to the conclusion that we both have bowel cancer, because there would be pink wee and pink poo. Well, not pink poo. You never see pink poo, do you? If you're seeing pink poo, something really weird's going on. anyway, tell me more about your holiday.
The other place I would recommend, okay, is this. Is the island of Spinalonga and the little village opposite called Placa. And the reason that we went there, and this is after the twins went, is that on the plane going out, right, okay, yes. I hope I'm not talking too much. On the plane going out, we didn't sit together, because you know that stupid thing that EasyJet do when you book together? They seat you right at different sections of the aircraft and give you the option of paying extra to move your seat. Bastards.
Have you noticed that? Well, no, it's never happened to me in actual fact, because we just choose our seats early enough to get seats together. That's what we do.
You pay, yeah. Well, we did.
We don't pay. God, no, I don't. That has never happened to me, I have to say. So anyway, you and Mike are separated.
So we're a long way away from the plane. Anyway, I'm sitting.
And you're nervous. You're nervous.
Well, quite. So I'm sat on...
Mike's done this on purpose, Judith. Hold on just a second here. I think Mike has done the seat booking and he's come through to you. So, you know, it's a bit weird on EasyJet. And what seems to have happened is that you're at the front, I'm at the back. I'm quite a few rows away from you. I'm really sorry about that, Judith. You are sitting with strangers. So what happened? Did you swap some seats around?
Well, no, because... we did eventually. But I sat next to these two women and of our age. They were great. Yeah. Funny enough, all three of us had denim jackets on, identical denim jackets. We bonded instantly. Also, being the needy traveller that I am, I also said almost immediately, I get very nervous if it gets bumpy, okay, just to let you know. And then the other one said, oh, I do too. Oh, yes. And I said, don't worry, I've got some emergency Valium. We bonded. Yeah. I kind of really wanted to say...
You're not allowed to give people your emergency Valium.
Well, I would have done
you
that.
Could be done for that. I know, you just say, actually, there's only one left and I'm having it. Down the gullet.
I liked them so much. Yeah. And I kind of wanted to say, do you listen to Older and Wider? But it was too soon in the conversation, you know what I mean? Yeah. But they would have been very good gang members. I know they would if they were not already. Anyway, they were going because, together to see this island spin longer because they'd read this book by Victoria Hislop, which you are bound to have read, called The
Islands. I haven't read it, though, but, you know, you have mentioned it in our show notes that I read last evening, and I have heard about it. What is it called?
Wonderful book. It's called The Island, and it's about a leper colony. Colony, which was the largest colony in Europe, okay, and it was only disbanded in 1957.
Which is mad, isn't it? You were born by then.
Yeah, all right, don't rub it in. But yes, so and so it's an extraordinary book, which she based on a lot of research, there's echoes of sort of COVID and AIDS there, because once you were diagnosed with leprosy in the 1930s onwards, you were just banished to this island.
It's a weirdly biblical disease, wasn't it? Because, you know, it's one of those ones that was mentioned in the Bible.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. How did people catch it? I don't understand how
leprosy worked. Well, this is the interesting thing. There were three strains of leprosy. I hope I'm getting this right. And the one that is most visible, where, you know, you are losing your ears and your fingers and so on, and come up in all the boils, the one that is the most visible and therefore the most feared and actually people were stoned. You know, the Bible almost encourages you to sort of banish the disease.
Yeah, of course it does, because religion is a bad thing.
But ironically, that form of the disease, apparently we now know, is not contagious at all. The other two are, I think the other two strains are pretty contagious, but it can take many decades even to develop. You might just get the odd patch on a leg or an arm. And once they saw that and you were diagnosed, you were on the island.
You were banished. Effectively banished, taken away from your families
Put on the island. You know, that was
Left to fend for yourself, until
some amazing Greek lawyer was banished there with it, sort of quite later on, towards the end of the 30s, 40s. They were given terrible food. They had no medical help at all, no painkillers, no hospital. That was it. You were just banished there. And on this kind of, on this island, which was within...
Did they begin to create their own communities?
Well, they did. Yes, they did. Eventually they did. This bloke whose name, I wish I knew his name and somebody should make a film about him. He arrived and he kind of he leaked it to the press, the way people were being
because I had heard the story before. I knew that there was some kind of island in Greece where there was a leper colony. Yeah. It was referred to as a leper colony.
Oh, well, that, absolutely.
And, but I didn't. So what is it like now? And what was the cure for leprosy? I mean, this is right up our street, Judith. I mean, if somebody wanted to do a sort of holiday tour company where they combine hypochondria and destinations, beautiful destinations.
And some swimming spots and some food sensations.
Well, you and I would be signing up.
Yeah,
okay, but this is so up your strata, isn't it?
I tell you what, it so is. I mean, you know, I was so fascinated because of the book, and she sets it so that the village opposite, you know, one of the mother and then the daughter both get leprosy. And of course, they're within waving distance of the rest of their family. It's like COVID again, or, you know, there's echoes of that. Yeah. But they can't actually meet properly. And
and the Berlin Wall, you know, this whole thing of being able to see each other and wave over.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So on the boat on the way over, I was desperate to go. So we decided to go, and we booked a hotel in Elunda, which is very close to it, which is also very lovely.
God, Judith, that's really kind of, I'm searching for the word, but it's quite adventurous, isn't it? To just, on the spur of the moment, say, right, we're going to do that, and it's going to mean a hotel destination and changing of plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, and it was such a good decision. And so we had a guide. I met a lovely older guide on the boat over, and he said, well, you know, that's fine, that's, you know, €30, and I can take you both round. And contrary to my aversion to ancient ruins, I could not get enough. We were there with him in the heat for at least 2 hours, and he was telling us about it. And his family grew up over the water, and he said some people are still, you know, there are centenarians that remember it. And this is, yeah, so there are houses now. So this lawyer brought, well, he leaked the whole thing to the press. As a result, many nations clubbed it in, got proper food sent over. They had a hospital built for them. I mean, they were still there. They couldn't come off.
And were people, by this point, were people sort of with leprosy meeting each other, falling in love and having families?
And having babies. And sometimes if the baby was born without leprosy, it was said that they had to leave the babies. The babies were sent off into orphanages.
This is crazy, isn't it? It's insane. And so the book, this was a recommendation from these ladies
from
you
these
sat next
two
to.
Women. And they, because they were
we
going
need to find these women.
Oh, we so
need,
we so do.
If you
we
know
so
who they are.
Do. So do, and I love.
They look like us, don't they? They sort of look
they
like
were
us.
So one of us, I tell you, they were so one of us. But I would really recommend it as a visit, and because I think, and also because they were there during the Nazi occupation of Crete, and of course, the Nazis didn't want anything to do with the lepers. So in some ways, they were kind of safer on the island during that.
Well, you'd
that
be
period.
Pretending. I mean, I'm such a coward. I'd probably say, look at this patch on my leg. I think I need to pop over
Send
to the
me
colony.
Over there. I'll be. It was it's a fascinating book. A lot of people will have already read it, but it was marvellous.
Okay, we have to move on from that now, Judith. We have to move on because otherwise it's just a travel guide.
I know.
For Spelunga. Spelunga?
Spinalonga.
Spinalonga. Ooh, maybe they should do spinning holidays on Spinalonga.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
No, we had a lovely time. Now, listen, I, at the risk of talking too much, there is something that I want to share with the gang. I'm saying this because I think we both feel, don't we, that the gang are sort of, they've become kind of really, yeah, very important to us, and we get all these amazing emails from you and so on. And you kind of followed us through lots of sort of life events and everything. Okay, so I want to share something now, which Jenny and Daisy have known about for a very long time, which is a terribly, terribly sad thing which happened to us. And as a result, we took Ellen and her best friend, not Ellen and Aaron. And that is that Ellen and Aaron, whose marriage I talked about and who, you know, shared that wonderful video of their first dance and everything, basically finished, and their marriage finished very soon after they married. Aaron decided that it wasn't right for him, and to our utter astonishment, he decided he didn't want to be married to her after 12 weeks. It's not something that I shared with the gang because it has been too awful, and I share it with you for many reasons, but not
mostly
least
because Ellen has given you permission as well.
Yes,
she has moved on. So, in my mind, I think Ellen has now moved on sufficiently and is coping so well. She is now at a stage
where she feels
she really wants, doesn't mind.
Yeah,
and I think you will not be the only person involved in this kind of situation, Judith.
Precisely.
There will be other people listening now that go, yeah, it happened to me, it happened to so and so, it happened to, you know, a friend of a friend, whatever. It happens, it's miserable.
Absolutely, absolutely. It happens, and it's happened to, I'm sure, a lot of other people in the gang, as you say.
Yeah.
It's been horrendous. It's been horrendous to see her go through what she's had to go through and the pain of it. But she's touched, I'm touching wood firmly, she's out.
I'm touching wood.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think also we should sort of give some credit, not only to Ellen for coming through this, but also that friend of hers, Jess, has been such an incredible support for long. I mean, you know, this is where friends really kind of prove their worth.
Isn't it?
And I mean, I don't even know Jess. I met her once many, many years ago.
She came to the show, and she came to the show. She's got very, very curly hair. She's been marvellous. A lot of Ellen's friends have really, really stuck by her during this and helped her. Thank God for friendship. You know what I mean? And family. We've all rallied round. But it was a terrible shock. We had, you know, and last thing we were expecting. So, and nothing, I mean, absolutely not Ellen's fault at all. And she had no idea it was coming, but there you go. Life throws us some difficult stuff.
It really, really does.
It does, doesn't it?
What's weird is, I think, because we're both in our 60s, and you think, when you're younger, you think that by the time you get to your 60s, it's all going to be sorted out. And that everything will be a bit more plain sailing. And actually, this is a decade where it can become incredibly dramatic.
Mm. Why is that, do you think? I'm saying that, but why do you think?
Well, you know, I'm 63, and since I turned 60, I've lost my mother and I've gained Arlo. So those are two very big life-changing events that have happened, you know, sort of bang slap on top of each other in some respects, you know, 6 months apart. Yeah. And today and tomorrow, my brother is actually clearing my mother's flat.
I feel
very odd about that because I've missed my chance to say goodbye to it because I'm on tour and touring is touring and you can't exactly sort of phone a venue and say, can we just, I need a couple of days just to, and a lot of things are going to, you know, they're going to clearance and of course, you know, there's furniture and things and nothing's, up to standard, you know, like they're two incredibly comfortable sofas, massive big things, but they're not up to health and safety things now. So they just have to be scrapped. There's so much stuff to be scrapped. And it's just, and you just know, I mean, a developer's bought it. Well, I think he might be a developer. I don't actually know, but I know he's going to modernize it. And it wasn't even anywhere that I lived. It was, you know, the family home went years ago, the big old Victorian house, which, but I will have no reason to go back to Lytham and I will not have nowhere to stay, which is the weirdest thing because it's always been this sort of secret bolt hole since my mother died. I've always thought, well, if I get really stuck, if the shit absolutely hits the fan, if I ever needed somewhere to hide, there's there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I mean, the only thing I would say, Jenny, is that once she'd gone and once, you know, I think my experience is that once you start to empty various things and, you know, and their presence there fades and fades and fades, you don't think you've said goodbye to it, but you probably have. It's not the same place. It doesn't have your mum's, you know...
spirit in. I have to say that whenever I stayed after she died... she was still very much there. You would not have been surprised if you rounded a corner and saw her.
Really?
Anyway, my brother is taking that on. So well done, Ben.
Well done, Ben. It's got to be done.
My sister's fucked off swimming. I fucked off on tour.
Yeah, so
you know, he's the only one left and he's there. Anyway, I will send him a text saying, well done you. Well done you. I have to say the tour is going very well, though. So,
so I hear. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Which,
I wouldn't get that excited. But it is. I'm playing some theatres I haven't either played for a very long time or I've never played before. There have been a couple where I thought, no, I've never, ever done this. There's a place called the Stoller Hall in Manchester, which is like a music venue. It's all wood and very modern. But it's great for comedy as well. So if you see gigs that are on in Manchester at the Stoller Hall, don't dismiss it. It's good. It's good for comedy. And I did Brighton Theatre Royal the other night. Got this a very beautiful theatre. Really beautiful. And I remember We played Grumpies there. We did one of the Grumpies show, and it was when we had Kate Robbins with us.
Oh, yeah.
And because Kate always knew music people, and sometimes they'd pop in to say hello after the show. And we had Dave Gilmore from Pink Floyd, and his wife Polly came backstage, and I offered Dave Gilmore a pork pie. Yes, I did. And this little, I said, would you like a miniature Melton Mowbray? It was a bit like a Victoria Wood sketch, you know, with one of the characters saying, would you like a miniature Melton Mowbray to one of the most famous.
Did he accept? Did he accept
I think he did. I think
how could you said, not?
I think he said yes, but don't tell Polly. and I also did the Vagina Monologues there with Miriam Margolyes and Rula Lenska. And I remember after that, Dora Bryan paid us a visit.
Oh, Dora Bryan.
She was, as soon as she opened her mouth, she was hilarious. She was hilarious, Judith.
She was Dora Bryan, I guess.
She was Dora Bryan. She was so Dora Bryan. She was a sort of fluffy blonde hair and pink lipstick and all Dora Bryan-y.
Was she in the Carry-Ons? I can't remember.
No, I don't think she was. I don't think she was that
young for that, probably.
I can't remember. I might do a quick... I've got too many tabs open on my computer, Judith. I cannot
You've been
Google
shopping.
That for you right
You've been
now.
Shopping.
I bought, they're not exciting. I bought a pair of Hoff trainers. Now, I'm only going to bring these up in case they send us a few more pairs. I'm only mentioning these. I don't think I got the most exciting colourway. I did buy them online. I got the Bangkok. They're all named after cities. Okay, so you can buy Hoff trainers from lots and lots of outlets, including Marks and Spencer's, but only online, I think. And I got the 5 because I'm you know, a size 5. But occasionally I will buy shoes and they don't really fit. And so I'm always anxious about buying online. But they were very true to size. And Judith, I put them on yesterday when they arrived. Mm. I had to go into town with Jeff and I walked all day in them. I did 8,000 steps yesterday.
Wow.
A brand new pair of trainers without sockless. That's all I'm going to say.
Sockless.
I was sockless. Yes. Not a blister,
test,
not a rubbed heel. Yeah, so even if you don't think, well, they're not that exciting, but if you need a really reliably comfortable pair of trainers, they're not cheap, but I'd seen them on my friend Lisa Adamczewski, and I just copied her. I'm sorry, I've turned into you. I copied a mate.
they look lovely. The only thing I would say about them is that the laces. I can't be bothered with the laces now. I like the ones with the zip up the side. That's
You're a
I
bit
like.
Older than me, Judith.
You're, oh, this, shut
the,
up.
That's where the 5-year difference really kicks in.
I'll be on the Velcro shoes, won't I, before you? You'll be on the zips, I'll be on the Velcros.
Yeah, it's just that stage beyond. Okay, I just look at them thinking, well, that's me next, isn't it, then? And I think it's time now to go to Culture Corner.
Culture Corner, okay. Did you go and see the McCartney exhibition, by the way?
Oh, Judith, we've had quite a to-do here, I have to say. I was gigging in... Oh, God, I can't remember. But it involved coming back on a train. Oh, it was Leeds. I'd been in Leeds doing the lovely City Varieties, which is beautiful theatre. It really is. It's where they used to film The Good Old Days, which used to make me cringe.
Do you remember that? Who was the guy that
He used to be the MC. And did he wear a top hat?
Yes, he did. And he used to have like an auctioneer's hammer, didn't he?
From yes. Yeah. And everyone dressed up in Victoria. This is so annoying. If my parents watched that, I would roll my eyeballs.
Oh, I hated it. I hated that man as well.
I hated every single act and I hated the audience. I hated the whole fucking thing. Anyway, it was there. And the next day I did Steph's packed lunch.
Did you?
Yes,
did
I did you? That. Mm-hmm. And not paid, you know, because it's a promo thing, but it's a good one to do. And she's a fun girl and all that. So I did that. And it was Jeff's birthday. And I got the quickest train back I could. And he was in bed. It just wasn't very well. And he wasn't very well for the entire weekend. And that Sunday, when I wasn't gigging, we were meant to go to the National Portrait Gallery. He wasn't well enough to go. But I will say this to the National Portrait Gallery. Although they do not offer concessions for the over 60s, which I think is mean, they were very good about us not being able to go on the day. And they have given me a credit note.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so I haven't. The money isn't... Because it was 4 of us booked. It was like 88 quid or something.
Oh,
I don't know. I know.
Yeah,
I've got that on credit. So
good.
The next exhibition... But have missed out on the, I think, the Paul McCartney. We're recording this on Thursday, the 28th. I think it's over this weekend.
Oh, bugger, and I'm away. Really?
I know. There we go. What can you do? Anyway, Miss Judith, we are going now to Culture Corner. And I'm going, I mean, you have obviously read The Island by...
Victoria Hislop, yes, hugely recommend that.
Have you read any of her other books?
No, but I will do now. Gosh, I will do. Have you? Have you read any?
I've known the name for a long time, and I don't know why I haven't read any, because she's really, really highly regarded.
I think
doesn't
she's written
she live
a
co- out there as well.
She's got a house. Yeah, so they live, I think, half of the time in Ios Nikolaos. I mean, she speaks fluent Greek, and she's quite, obviously, a huge kind of figure now, I think, in Greece. I think she's written.
But why hasn't it been made into a film? I mean,
oh, it has.
It has.
Yes, it wasn't called The Island though. It was called something else. But yeah.
So anyway, Judith, I'm just going to interrupt this podcast and tell our listeners that we have had a massive technical issue, and we have had to swap platforms over from CleanFeed to Zoom. But Daisy has enabled this, and we can keep going now. We were chatting about whether there had been a film about the Spinalonga Island.
Very good. I think there has, but it wasn't called The Island, which is a bit weird. So I didn't,
Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you about the books I have been reading.
Yes, please.
Last week, because both come highly recommended from me to you and our listeners. But I'm going to start with In Memoriam by Alice Wynne. This is a stunning, stunning book. It's taught me so much about the First World War, to the point I will never make another Somme joke again. You know when sometimes you're somewhere really muddy in a field and you go, oh, it's like the Somme. No, it's not. No, it's nothing like the Somme. The Somme was mass murder. The Somme was the maddest thing ever. 60,000 of our young men died on one day. They just went over the top and killed, mowed down. I started talking about it on the last podcast that we had. It's about public schoolboys, and your sympathies might be small for public schoolboys, but it's about them, you know, being as much army fodder as anybody else. But
were they rations, even though they're
they were officers, but they had to lead by example. They had to, and it's just as bad for every school, but I think the records are easier to find for posh schools because they had school newspapers and they had rolls of honours and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You can feel, well, fuck them really, but you know, there were after the First World War, out of, you know, the sixth form that signed up, there would be two or three that survived. And most of them would be missing a face, missing an arm, missing a leg, missing whatever. But it was equally as bad for all young men of all classes. And you know, this terrible thing of the civilians not understanding what the young men went through, and just the shell shock and the madness. It's great. It's because it works on so many levels. It's about the war, but it's also about love and young men and families and
because you'd think there wouldn't be very much. I mean, I know this sounds ridiculous to say, but in a way you'd think there isn't much more to say, but for her to have written a book which is so moving and engaging and shows different light on it, that's very impressive actually.
It it stopped me in my tracks. I really did. I think it's super. I also really loved, and I've never read any Rose Tremaine before.
Oh, haven't you? I love Rose Tremaine.
Right, well, she's got a new one out, and it'd be right up your strasse. Mm-hmm. It's a novella more than a big old
short
one.
Short.
It's about 6 hours on audio. It's called Absolutely and Forever by Rose Tremaine. So beautifully written and performed on Audible. I gulped it down. It's huge. It's basically a slice of 60s marriage. It's another posh girl. Was sort of slightly aimless, and she thinks she's very much in love with someone else, and it's what happens to her and her marriage to somebody else.
Well, that sounds really good, Jenny. I'm definitely going to download that.
It's just the style of it. It's so massively stylish. I do need something sort of more modern and cutting edge now, but and I'm on the search. But those two, I think, have been my constant companions while I've been on tour. So, and we're still on the beasting. I'm still on the beasting with Jeff. It's a huge book. It's about 19 hours. And of course, I'm away so much.
19 hours?
Yeah. It's massive. It's really a Booker nominated, but it's probably one of the few Booker nominators I have absolutely lapped up. I hope it wins. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. We are now going to move on to television. Judith, you've got a lot to catch up on.
Oh, I so have. I mean, the only thing I would say is that I've seen Angela Rippon's doing the splits, but she wasn't doing the splits.
It was a vertical split.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was a high leg.
Astonishing.
Yeah. It wasn't a real leg, obviously, Judith. It wasn't a real leg. Did you
really
not
look
see?
Like one? It didn't actually look like one, did it?
It wasn't. She had. Did you not notice the dress was covering the other her other leg? That was that she had two legs down the floor.
Taylor's dummy.
She had a fake leg flown right up in the sky, with the help of her. Anyway, that's back on. I genuinely feel at this point, controversially, because I put this on Twitter and quite a few people disagreed, I think there need to be two mirror ball prizes, because the gulf between the trained and the untrained is...
I think you're right. I'm surprised you actually got some controversy with that. That you're absolutely right. But
well,
yes,
people were saying quite justifiably that Hamza won last year without any dance experience. I think he was a one-off. I just think finding that untapped dance talent, that sort of musicality and rhythm and whatever in somebody who's new to dance is extraordinary, and he absolutely deserved to win. But I do think that there is, I mean, there are people who have worked in musical theatre on this show, who have worked extensively and have made a living out of music.
Really?
And they are extraordinary to watch. There's some great work going on. It's still brilliant, but it's not a level playing field.
It's amazing that it is still brilliant, isn't it? I mean, it's very, very unusual. I caught up last night with Celebrity Race Across the World. I think there's two episodes out now, but we saw the first one. Brilliant. And it's obviously going to get really fab. I love that format. I love it. I haven't seen it,
but I saw Harry Judd's mother.
Oh, she's great. She's so stylish.
She was on Saturday Kitchen, and I was really taken by her. She was so stylish. She looked so beautiful. She was wearing lovely clothes, lovely trainers, lovely. She just looked so cool. And you just think, Marks and Spencers, why aren't you signing this woman up? She is totally what we want to look like. And she was funny and she was sweet and she was talking about this race across the world, which I haven't seen.
It's great. I mean, I have to say, she's not looking very stylish in the series, but why would you when you've been on a fucking coach all night with no loo? But she's great. She's always sort of running behind him and buying snacks and missing coaches. It's great.
Okay,
I love that show.
Well, that's on our list. Did you catch up with Bake Off, or were you on Race?
No. I've got Bake Off fatigue. I know, very, very controversial. Can't be there. Can't get enthusiastic about it anymore. Sorry.
Okay. I tried last night, but because Jeff had saved Fake or Fortune for me. That's a new series back on as well. It was whether a little statue found in a car boot sale was an original Elizabeth Brent.
Lovely. I like that format too.
Yes, it is. And you know, Jeff is a big Elizabeth Brent fan.
Up his Strasse.
And then because of various things last night, we ate very late, and then it was sort of 10 o'clock and Jeff went up to bed and I started to watch Bake Off, but I was tired, Judith. I was tired. I'd picked Arlo up from nursery. I couldn't do any more. So that's still on my list. There's also a new series of Taskmaster. It's quite strange to see someone else sitting in my studio
chair. I bet.
Not sure whether I like it, but I have to be more generous than that. And sitting in my chair is a young Australian comedian called Sam Campbell, who is looking very strong. I think that he might have hidden depths. And I'm sorry, that is my culture. It's not brilliant at the moment. You've had a much more cultural couple of weeks, but I have been to the Old Trafford Centre. So, you know, try and beat that.
Yeah, the Old Trafford Centre? I mean, what do you mean, like the shopping centre?
I was being Judith. I was being sarcastic. All right, then.
I tell you what, there's only one email. We should mention one email.
Oh, yes.
Which we get a lot of fantastic emails from you, from the gang. But we have to read this one out. Okay. Right. Should I start?
Yeah, you start.
Okay. I'm Amy, 29 and 11 months. I mean,
youngster,
get that.
Youngster.
Get that.
Yes.
I've recently started listening to your pod following Jenny's appearance on Taskmaster. There you go. What a segue.
Oh.
What a brill watch that was. Go on, then you next.
I have recently had my first baby. He's almost 6 months now. And you both get me through those long sleepless nights. I can sit back, feed my boy and have a giggle to myself. And it genuinely makes the nights bearable. I love hearing about your nana duties and can see how much you love being part of their lives. You're both incredible grandmothers. Well, I don't know. Ask the mothers and the fathers about that. And remind me of my own mum and mother-in-law. I have now become a lifelong listener, currently working my way backwards through your episodes.
Oh my God,
and just be really sweet. And that's from Amy. Amy, you're so welcome.
Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
Isn't that
and
nice?
We will miss you when he starts sleeping through the night.
Yeah, because you won't be bothered with us there. Like
it
I
won't
tell
be.
You.
No. You'll get your life back one day, very soon. Okay, one more for you, and this is from our friend Clover. And she says, info for Judith, as you have missed slots in the past. Waitrose slots are open today, 26th of September. Oh, Judith, that's a couple of days ago. Have you got in there yet? Or are you
not yet. It's on my list. It's on my list. I'm impressed, Clover. I think she's head girl material myself.
She is very much
you know
part
what I mean?
Of our gang. Yes, thank you, Clover. I of course, won't be doing that. I don't even know where I'm going to be for Christmas. Who knows? Anyway, you lot, we've had a lovely catch up. Judith, you're looking very well indeed.
So are you. Very rosy cheeks, or is it makeup?
Of course it's makeup. I've got my face on. I haven't got anything else on. I've got an old T-shirt of Jeff's on my pyjama bottoms, and that's where it's going to stay all day. I can tell you that for absolutely nothing. All right, love.
Okay.
I've got other jobs to do.
Of course you have. Anyway,
so
lovely
nice
to
see
you.
It's so nice to see you. I'm so glad you're back. And it's good to see Daisy. Daisy's not been well this week, but she's recovered now. She looks in the pink.
She does.
There's lots of bugs out there, and I have a horrible feeling that COVID is doing the rounds again.
I'm afraid it is. I'm afraid. I've got my jab on Saturday, so there you go. Oh, I just picked my nose then. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you did pick your nose, not realising that we had to change formats. We're now on Zoom, and we all saw you getting a piggy
rather disconcerting,
out. You've got a piggy out. Okay. Love you and leave you.
Yeah. Bye, everybody. Bye, Jenny.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.